Z-Star, then coming at them now is Legenda. Now down the outside, Girl on a Train starting to wind up from well back. It's starting to power home. So Girl on a Train out wide with Cordoba going up with Z-Star. It's Girl on a Train taking the front. And this will be a day to remember for Campbell Warilla. It's Girl on a Train by half length.
Hello, welcome back to the Trainer's Heart. I'm Todd Blum, your host. We're here in the Sport Thought Studios. Another edition of the Trainer's Heart. And it's a very special edition this week because we're chatting to our first ever jockey on the show. Now, we've had some of the leading stud owners, we've had some of the leading trainers, we've had some of the biggest bloodstock agents in the country as well as syndicators, but we've got our first jockey and he's one of the young rising stars in the country, Campbell Rawilla. He's a son of a gun. We know his dad, Nash. We know his feats on the track. He's been all over the world riding horses such as More Joyous, Alstrom, and Piero as well. Had such a strong association with Gay Waterhouse. Well, his son Cam Rawilla has it all in front of him, heading into the second year of his apprenticeship. He's apprenticed to Logan McGill down there at Mornington, and we know Logan McGill is one of the fastest rising talents in the training ranks here in Victoria, so it's an association that will certainly be very prominent in the race books in the years to come. But we're going to just wanted to, you know, get the young jock in and the Trainer's Heart, get there at ground level, and we might even make the thank you speech when he wins a big race a little later on in his career, which the way he's going isn't going to be too far away. Just going the second year of the apprenticeship, already had the 75 winners under the belt, so he's going along very nicely there, Campbell Rawilla. And we're going to have a chat about not only his time overseas and his first winner and racing against his old man, but just going to find out a little bit more about behind the scenes of being a jockey. So how the apprentice system works, if you're not familiar with that, and the claiming system and stuff like that. A lot of people just see in the race book that it says, you know, apprentice 3 kilos, and we know that they get 3 kilos off that riding weight, but we're not really sure about the whole system and how it works. So keen to talk to him about that and a day in the life of the jockey, because there's a lot more to it than just rocking up in the Merc and taking the suitcase across to the jockey's room, jumping on a horse, winning the big group one, and then going back into the jockey's lounge. There's a lot more to it that these very brave men and women go through to get to the races and get the horses around the track and get off in a safe manner. So very excited to have our first jockey on the show, and we're going to head to him now. And joining me on the line now, here in the Trainer's Hut, our very first jockey, and we're very excited to have this man on the show, one of the rising stars in racing, Cameron Willer. Welcome to the Trainer's Hut, mate.
No, very exciting to be on.
Now, the old man's a jockey, Cam, Nash Rawilla. Your uncle Brad's a jockey, and he's been very prominent here in Victoria, and I think your mum even spent some time as a jockey as well. Is it something that you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, no, the family's definitely heavily involved. It has been probably, like, I grew up in Melbourne early days, and I love my AFL and sort of took that passion to Sydney, where I sort of kept playing and playing my footy and going to the races at the same time. And as I started to get into my teen years, 12 to 13, I really started to get passionate with the horses, and it grew into more of a passion in racing, and it just all sort of puzzled up that I really wanted to be a jockey, and I've had very good supporters along the way. Been very lucky.
You've spent a bit of time overseas, so you lived in Hong Kong when you were a bit younger, and more recently you worked with Jade Chappell-Hyam over in England and spent a bit of time in France and Italy. Tell us a little bit about your time overseas and some of the things you learnt and were able to bring back with you.
Yes, I'm very lucky to be able to sort of travel with Dad for a lot of my travels and then sort of venture off to get some work experience, obviously, like you said, with Jane Chappell-Hyam, and went to Germany as well, which was unbelievable. Just having a sort of a brand new sort of outlook, you know, with the way they obviously train their horses and ride their horses over there. It was definitely a big eye-opener and a very, very good experience. And, you know, like I said, it's obviously a very different style of racing, and just to be able to sort of take it in at a young age, it was definitely, you know, something I really tried to do my best to, you know, sponge it all up.
We know some of the differences in the racing, Cam, with the way they sort of program their horses and things like that. It's very different to Australia. What are some of the differences with the jockeys? Is there a different sort of race riding style, or the way they prepare, or anything like that? Is there anything you can share with us that's a bit different there?
Yeah, sort of something I found quite different. They'd start work obviously a bit later, wait till the sun comes up, but they'd really just ride the horses for a good hour minimum. You'd walk the horse up to the gallops and whatnot, and you just spent that much time on horseback. It was you'd be at the stables for 6 hours, and probably five and a half of it you were on a horse. You know, it was just really they really do put a lot of kilometres into the horse's legs, which is real, you know, low intensity, and I think that's where they get such a such a advantage in their stamina of horses and the strength. They really put a lot of time into them and just use different type of training facilities, which are say in Lambourne, or you've got your real steep uphill gallop, and similar to the Heath at Newmarket, they've just got that many different choices for a different style of horse.
Yeah, it certainly is a very different way of going to the track at 3 o'clock in the morning and going around in a couple of circles, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big difference. With the racing so international at the moment, it's very, I think the best part of a lot of trainers and from Europe and from Australia, they've really sort of combined the different aspects, and I think that's why the racing's so strong now. It's every horse is getting their chance to really perform at their absolute best, and it goes to show with the quality of European horses and Australian horses as well. New Zealand, it's very competitive.
Yeah, the world certainly is. It's getting a lot smaller, so a lot of these trainers have a lot more access to not only information, but they can go over and, like yourself, go overseas, spend a bit of time overseas, and bring that sort of stuff back. And some of it they use, some of it they don't, and some of it integrates really well with what we do here in Australia, doesn't it?
Definitely, yeah, and that's what it is. It's just, it's taking a little bit from everything you pick up and learn and get taught and sort of combine it all into one. I think that's, where it's you're best to learn. And with like I say, a lot of the jockeys internationally, you get a lot of Australian jockeys in Hong Kong and European jockeys, and they've all got to manipulate their style to suit the horses, suit the tracks, and I think that's why the international racing is so strong. We've just got a lot of different comparisons of race horses and race tracks, and different styles of training, which all combining to one. It's what makes racing so fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. You're based down at Mornington now, apprentice to Logan McGill, who he's just quietly one of the young stars of the training ranks. And how did that association come about?
So Logan's, I knew very well, and he couldn't have suggested Logan as a, perfect mentor for me, and I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity to go to Logan. He has been such a backbone to me. He really taught me so much on how to ride, because I really didn't, I did show jumping and dressage and all, but I hadn't really learnt the riding racehorses aspect, and he really drilled that into me well. And it was always to be a horseman before I'd worry about being a jockey, and that was something he really put a lot of his time and effort into giving me every opportunity to excel at that. And I couldn't thank him enough for all that, and his family, they've just been such a great part of me, and like I said, he's taught me so much, and for that I just couldn't be more thankful.
And I suppose it's a added bonus when you work for a trainer that spent such a long time riding horses, and he had a pretty promising career as a jockey a bit earlier on himself before a couple of incidents outside his control. But that must be an extra added bonus as well, Cam.
Exactly. He rode work beside me for at least my first 6 months going around the track, and every day he taught me something new. And I think the difference between that and getting thrown into a stable where I was just getting the horses worked, it did play a big role in sort of my riding, because if that was the case, I would have been extremely lost. And you know, just not at that stage to where he really made sure he had me on the right horses, which would push me, but they'd still teach me and give me, you know, good, valuable lessons. And he really has, as well as a few other, you know, riders around Mornington and all, and jockeys, that he really has just given me every part of his time and you know, everything he knows to help me excel. He's done that to me, you know, at the best he can, he could. And for that, you know, he's done a good job, because I think there was a lot of hard work. I was a bit of a blank sheet of paper.
Riding work with you, it'd be like the coach sending the runner out at footy, just letting you know what's going on while it happens, so you don't have to wait for quarter time to go back to the huddle.
Yeah, exactly. No, there was a lot of banter. but he definitely made sure that I was always learning and still keeping on the ball. And yeah, like I said, I think I definitely wasn't a gifted rider. I had to take every step of the ladder, and for that, like I said, he really deserves a lot more credit than he probably gets for how much he has taught me.
Yeah, well, it's certainly an association that I think is going to be very prominent in the years to come. Cam, I'm interested for you to tell me just a little bit about a life in the day of the jockey. So for those listeners of the show who might not know the ins and outs of racing and be unfamiliar with that side of it, a lot of people see Craig Williams, Damien Oliver, they win a Group 1 every second week and jump off the horse and go back to the jockey's room with a really big trophy. So just tell us a bit about the hard work behind the scenes that goes into being a jockey.
So for us at McGill Racing, we'd be on our first horse by sort of 3:55 maximum. So for me, I'd set my alarm at 3 o'clock and bounce out of bed straight to the kettle and a very strong coffee. That's what gets me going. And it just depends what weight you're riding that day. If you're obviously struggling with your weight a little bit and you're riding light, you'd probably you know, have to be quite cautious on your fluid intake, which you know, can be quite tough. But it's the homework of the sport. You know, like every aspect of that, but I'll sort of ride 6 horses in the morning and finish it around 6:30, 7 o'clock. And if I am riding light, I'll go home and put the sweaters on and go for a good run and have a bath, but something like that, just to sort of get us going. But definitely always, Dad's always taught me to have a real good run and, you know, get sweating actually working, not just sitting in a bath or straight into the sauna, because that's what sort of really just gets your mind a bit frazzled and makes it hard just losing the water weight. You're not really getting anything out of it. So
yeah.
That's what I like to do, is sort of put the sweat gear on and maybe, you know, put the heaters on in the treadmill room and just run a good few Ks and walk, you know, a few more Ks, and that really just gets you ticking over well. And if you still got a bit of weight to lose after that, you might have a calf sweat or a bath, but depending on that. But usually, obviously, you know, if you got that weight to lose in the morning, you do all your form the night before and just sort of have that prepared, so you're not rushing. You know, you got your routine and you're not rushing flat out just to have everything prepared for your weight. And it's all just sort of being prepared. I think that's what the main sort of got to be on with race day. Once you got your weight right, you sort of get ready for the races and you know, hopefully look forward to a big days ahead.
Your first winner, Cam, speaking of a big day, Girl on a Train at Mowi. You had the whole field in front of you as you rounded the turn, and then it was reminiscent of Shane Dye on Vandercross when you come right down the outside, and it must have been a huge thrill to pass the whole field and break the maiden.
Yeah, no, it was very exciting. I think you could probably tell at the 100, I dropped the rein and I was in all sorts, but I was wrapped, and it was definitely a day I'd never forget, especially, you know, a massive person in my life, my grandfather, and a really good family friend of ours. They were both there, which was just really special, and it just made the day so fantastic. Yeah, big thank you to Ken Templeton. He was, you know, pretty ambitious, putting me on my third or fourth race ride, and it was just exciting to sort of have things fall into play.
Another special moment, Cam, when you raced against the old man at Bendigo. Was there any words of wisdom in the jockey's room beforehand, or did Dad sort of keep to himself to try and get one up on the young fella?
Yeah, he keeps to himself. Like on a race day, I think there's every man for himself for Dad, and I think that's why he's at where he is, because he's a real bulldog on the racetrack, but he's such a humble person. I think that's what has made him such a champion, is his competitiveness is second to none, and I could definitely I definitely noticed that when I rode in the race against him. He's hell for leather, and that's how he can pick a horse up, I think.
Now, speaking of advice, there's a bit of footage on racing.com that was around the time you walked the track together that morning. Just Big Nash in the Rockstar Sunnies and looking very dapper there. You got the dress sense like the old man, or is he out on his own a bit there?
Yeah, he's a bit of a James Bond like that. I try my best, but I think he's second to none with the dress code.
Yeah. What are some of your best memories of your dad riding, Cam, whether it be when you were a bit younger, or was there like, because there was a stage there where he was just winning Group 1s for fun, and they weren't just on the favourites either. I mean, he's been a very, very good rider for a long period of time, and we've seen recently he's going through another little bit of a purple patch as well.
Yeah, I think probably the stage that really stands out for me with Dad is when he had sort of more joyous and Piero around that time, where he's just... you know, he really ripped through the autumn and the spring with such quality horses, and just when he was getting them premierships in Sydney, he was just flying, and he really, you know, he really does work. He's the hardest worker I've ever seen with his races, and for him to teach me, I really do take a lot out of it, because he's just got such a unique way of looking at things, which really does, you know, teach you a lot. But definitely more joyous than Piero stick out to me a lot, but I know a horse, Alvstrom, which put him on the map quite a bit with, you know, obviously travelling to Dubai and winning the Dubai Duty Free over there, and winning the Caulfield Cup here. That's the horse, I think, for Dad. It's probably one of his most, you know, most horses that he is appreciative of.
Yeah, he had Maccabi Diva behind him in that Caulfield Cup too, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a rare sight. He's a superstar.
Yeah, he was a superstar too. Alstrom, take nothing away from him. He was a really good horse. And speaking of good horses, Cam, going forward, coming into the spring now, it's a very important time for the jockeys. We've seen you ride Brazen Brando, So You Beauty Bold, and our Campana last couple of starts in town. Are there any horses that you've just latched onto coming into the spring? Any horses there at Logan's that you're keeping an extra close eye to?
Logan's sort of, you know, the superstar of the stable for Logan is definitely Goldfields. He is a real, you know, he is just all heart. And of course he has ability, but I mean, he is just such a tough horse. Like, and I think that's probably Logan's real good opportunity in the spring, you know, to showcase how good a trainer is, and how, you know, the horse he is such a superstar in his own right, and, it'd be great to see him pick off a, you know, a well-deserved group race throughout the spring. But, it's a very exciting time of year. I'd be more so to focus on the smaller meetings throughout, but if that opportunity came up, I'd take it with both hands for sure.
It is, especially for the, you know, the young jockeys coming through with a lot of the sort of more senior guys, they sort of miss a few meetings throughout the carnival with fear of getting suspension. So it is a really good time of year to start building a bit more connections and getting a few more opportunities as well, isn't it, from that point of view?
Absolutely. It is a very tough time down here. I think it'll help a little bit, sort of, you know, there's COVID restrictions at the moment, but there is just such a strong riding rank in Victoria, as there is every year, but especially this year, I don't think anyone's really taken a holiday, and it is very, very competitive, especially even, you know, at your provincial meetings and all. Like, it's quite tough sort of, you know, keeping on horses and sort of sustaining strong books, because there's just that many jockeys around at the moment with such, you know, high quality.
We'll get to a few more of the young riders in a second, but I just... I want to touch on the support you've received. So you've mentioned that Logan's been exceptional with you and a couple of really nice horses that he's hasn't been afraid to put you on as well. But the support from a couple of other leading trainers, the likes of Mick Price, Peter Moody and Philip Stokes, they've been giving you plenty of rides as well. So it must be really encouraging when you're, you know, answering the phone to these blokes and they're prepared to put you on.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've got some very quality horses. Another person I'll have to definitely, who had a big part of my career was George Osborne. I think he put me on about 60 rides with my first 250 rides. He really helped me get going. But like you were saying, just having them strong connections like that, they're really a really good asset to have. But the opportunities when they come, obviously taken with both hands, and with the ones that have come my way, I'm very, very fortunate to have received them.
And Euphoric Summer, she's a very exciting filly. She's lining up in the Quizette Stakes tomorrow, today being the 14th of August that we're recording this. If you've ridden her to a second there at Mornington, you're just keeping a close eye on Benny Malham and maybe giving him a few tips on how to ride her there?
I can teach him how to run second. She's full of ability. She sort of just had that first up run there, and she can really show her best tomorrow. It would be very good for the Nick Price and Michael Penn team to get her back in the winner's door.
The stable is on fire at the moment, but we'll talk about some of the young riders, Cam. So you mentioned the competitiveness of the Victorian circuit at the moment. Who are some of the young riders that are coming through their apprenticeship with you that you've sort of just had to keep a close eye on and not let them get too far away, that you know that are really exciting, some of the other jockeys in the jockey room as well?
We're very strong bond, our second year apprentices, Jaden, Matt Cartwright, and we're all best mates, and we're always cheering each other on off the track and getting very competitive on it. Definitely a lot of the second year apprentice boys, we all have a lot of banter and they're sort of my best mates. So we've sort of done our apprenticeship together so far, and we're always sort of keeping a close eye on each other.
Just tell us a bit about the apprenticeship system, Cam. So you're coming into your second year. How does it work in regards to the claims and that sort of stuff? A lot of people, same again, that might not be right across how the jockey system works. They've seen a form guide, an apprentice riding, claiming 3 kilos. What's all that sort of stuff mean, and how do you progress through?
Yeah, so you start off, obviously, your bush and provincial claim. You start off with your first 5 winners with a 4 kilo to sort of help get you going and take the weight off the horse's back, so it's appealing to trainers. So it works as a 4 kilo for 5 winners, 3 kilo for 20, and then 2 kilos to your 50, and then 1.5 to 80, and then you lose your provincial claim, and then you move on to your metro claim. But it all just sort of works with how you're sort of going at getting through your claim. If you're getting that good support, you can really rush through your claim like Will Price has. He's outridden his claim in his first season, which is a astonishing effort, and to where if you sort of just need a bit of support, and it just takes a little bit longer. So it all just depends on how you're going, for how you're getting through your claim, and I think it's very, very well done in Victoria, and the apprentice coaches and all regards to that matter do an exceptional job to give us every opportunity to ride out our claim.
It certainly is a system that's been put in place, and it's one that they've been constantly improving the last couple of years, isn't it? So the young riders coming through, male or female, they really do at the moment have probably the best possible shot to make it as a jockey. Whereas in the old days, it was like you were saying before about Logan coming out to ride work with you. It was a trainer sending you out, and if you were any good, you're any good, and if you weren't, you weren't.
Yeah, it's a very strict, very demanding, very strict process you take to get into the apprentice school, but they really do give us every opportunity to excel, and I think that's where such a strong riding school is, because you do get that opportunity and you really do get pushed out to be the best person you can be on and off the track and in racing or not, you know, like to Darren Gauchy, Alf Matthews and Lisa Hocking, the team behind Ron Hall, they just really have our backs and very fortunate to have that, of course, in my riding career.
So with the riding school, Cam, obviously, you say, you're out there and you're riding races and the amount of wins goes towards your claim and constantly stepping that up. How hands-on is it in terms of the riding school? Is there a meeting every week or a couple of weeks or so? Or how does the school side of that work?
So, like, usually we'd be, throughout the first year, we'd go in there for a few nights to RV, or Race in Victoria at Flemington, and we'd be there in person at the riding apprentice school, and you'd sort of, you know, you'd go through your classes there and your hands-on gym and whatnot, to where obviously COVID-19's restricted that, so we're doing Zoom classes and just sort of doing a lot more practical, sort of your book side to our racing, race riding learning and, you know, race tactics and all, so that's sort of what the go is now, but it is, we have one big class every once a month, but we have Darren Gauchy and Alf Matthews, Ron Hall, they're all going to the races consistently at least four meetings a week, which, you know, they're always there to guide us and give us support. So they're a lot of the time, yet like we have a main class once a month. But I think that works in well. We sort of check in and they're running it to the best they can, I believe.
Yeah, every jockey has a race that they really want to win. It might not be a big one. It might just be the next one. But what's one of the races that, as a jockey, you'd love to knock off by the time you finish your career?
To be on a horse good enough to win the Mornington Cup, I feel that's probably something I'd love to achieve. It's a race, obviously. I've grown up in Mornington, you know, and I'd love to win that for my boss one day. That'd be a major thrill. But any sort of opportunity in a big race is, you know, taking the exact same way with both arms, and you know, these sort of cup races like that are really sort of what get the blood pumping.
If I ever have a horse on a pass for a Mornington Cup, Cam, I'll make sure I give you a call and get you on board, and we'll try and win it together.
Oh, that'll be a dream. That'll be good.
Any Craig Williams style thank yous if you got across the line, you know, thanking everyone under the sun, or you keep it pretty low key?
I'll keep it low key and maybe do the Frankie
Dettori
in the mountain
yard. Yeah. Before I let you go, mate, you've been very generous with your time. You mentioned you're very passionate about your AFL. We've had Jeremy Gask on the show previously here in the Trainer's Heart. He played footy for Sturt in the Sandful. Rob Hickmont was on a couple of weeks ago. He played the two games for Melbourne. Which side did you follow in the AFL, and were you ever a chance of pursuing it, or the horses was just too much?
I'm a massive Richmond fan. It runs in the Rewilla family, that. I was born in a jersey from Uncle Brad and Dad and Uncle Todd's day, so there was never a choice in that, but love the Tigers. I was in the Swans Academy for the under-13s, under-12s up in Sydney, and I was 35 kilos and my opponents were plus 55, so that was my little issue, but I was a rover. Went to Hong Kong after that and sort of, you know, drifted away from the footy, and
yeah,
it just grew and grew, my racing side, which I love, and that's how that sort of come about. But I would have had to probably put on a few extra kilos to pursue the AFL dream.
Any players in the Swans Academy at the time that are there at the moment? Any go on with it?
There is a few, yes. But Isaac Keeney, he went to my school, actually.
I went to
Waverley College up in Sydney, and Isaac was there. He had a full-on haircut back in them days, and he's seen his first few photos in the Swans. We're in great hands there. Nick Davis and Michael O'Loughlin, they were, you know, very, 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 Paul Ruse, actually, he was a coach when I first went there, and obviously moved to Melbourne after that, but they were amazing, and Nick Davis, he loves his racing, and he's I think he's up in Queensland. He's riding horses and all, so he loves it.
And don't say Nick Davis too many times, mate. I'm a Geelong fan, and 2005, that last quarter in the semi-final. Every time I hear his name, it sends a shiver down my spine.
Yeah,
I
won't bring that up again.
Yeah. Cam, thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show today, mate. And we're gonna follow you with interest here in the trainer's hut. And we look forward to touching base with you again in the not-too-distant future when you've won a big race.
Great to be a part of it. Thank you very much, Todd.
Cameron Willer there, one of the young rising stars in the racing industry, and certainly a jock to notice. And make sure you keep an eye out for his name in the form guide when you're having a look across the state in the next couple of years, because he's certainly going to be a very, very prominent figure in our race books. And like he said there, Matt Cartwright, Will Price, a couple of names that he mentioned to other young men down there at Mornington that are doing great things. Will Price, as he said, already outrode his claim. So it's a very good crop coming through of these apprentice jockeys. And as he said, the system that's in place, the apprentice school, you know, the Gouch, and even if you don't know racing, everyone knows the Gouch. He was an absolute superstar, and he was bigger than Texas here at one point. So that's full credit to Racing Victoria and the system they've got in place, because it really is helping this young talent come through. But very good young man. Very nice to have a chat with Cameron Willer. And as I said, we're going to look forward to following his career very prominently. And already just got the English Digital Catalogue out, just having a look at a couple of horses for the Mornington Cup. And it certainly is a race that, as a jockey, you wouldn't mind winning, because chances are you're going to be on that horse in the Caulfield Cup as well with their golden ticket entry. So there's a little bit to play out in the future. That's it for this week's edition of the Trainer's Hut. Thank you for joining us. If you've been a regular to the show, we appreciate you having you as company with us throughout the duration of the podcast. And if you're new to the show, that's all right, because you've got plenty to catch up on. Jump on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow or subscribe to the show there and leave a review. Let us know what you think, any advice, feedback, good, bad, or otherwise. Happy to hear it. Happy to keep improving the show. And I've really been enjoying putting this podcast together. And it's really good to see the support continue to grow and the feedback that we've received so far. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do so on the Twitter. At Toblum Bloodstock is the handle there. And you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Sport Thought, which is, of course, the website that we bring the podcast to you on, sportthought.com.au. And the show is also available at toddblumbloodstock.com. So you can jump on there and have a look at the show. And always happy to hear from the fans out there. So please don't hesitate to get in touch. Maybe there's a suggestion of someone you'd like us to have a chat to, something we should be talking about. Always happy to hear it. That's it for this episode, though. I'll see you next time in the Trainer's Hut. I'm Todd Blum. See you then.